Ladies and gentlemen, here she is now. Let's get together and meet a very delightful, that sultry siren of the Southland, her lovely Betty Page.
Hello, hello, Betty Babes and Bows. I'm Tori Rodriguez, here with my co-host Mark Morey, and we're back for the Betty Page podcast.
Hi, Tori. How you doing? And we are back from, boy, that was a long vacation. I guess we really needed a vacation, didn't we?
Yeah, all about the self-care.
And of course, we have a new face here. Ben Wilkinson is our special guest on tonight's show. But not only that, Ben is a regular part of the podcast these days. He's become our producer and our engineer, and he's really the he's the one who got us back from vacation.
Oh my
god! Long vacation.
I think I did do some arm twists.
So modest.
I did some serious arm twists, and I sent in some emails like, "Come on, guys, let's do this." But like, this is cool for me because I'm a big fan of both of you, everything that you've done, and just this whole thing has been a pretty fun experience. So now that you have me on here, it's pretty wild.
Well, and for those of you who don't know, Tori is the author of two books about Betty Page, The Little Book of Betty and Betty Page, The Lost Years. She's also the owner of Betty Page Fitness. So we're excited to have her as a Betty Page expert. And of course, you may know, I directed the film Betty Page Reveals All. So we're all like huge Betty fans here.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to be back on the Betty beat.
And of course, reason we have Ben as a guest is because he set up the Betty Page marker. Is that what we call it, Ben? The Betty Page marker in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. The historic marker outside of her alma mater of Hume Fog High School.
Yeah, so that's really all three of us met up there. That's where I met Ben for the first time. Of course, we had talked on the phone before that. And of course, you were there, Tori. And it was the whole crowd gathering in front of Hume Fog High School, Betty Page's high school. And wasn't there something about a 100th anniversary?
It was her 100th birthday.
Her 100th birthday, right.
And
she would have been 100,
Yeah, and just to say this, like when all that got in motion with the historic marker, I'm pretty sure the two of you were the first people I emailed because I had been listening to the Betty Page podcast while at work. And honestly, you know, I've been a Betty fan for a long time, but hearing your podcast kind of really got the gears moving in my head about, you know, maybe it's time to get this going in Nashville. So you were the first people I emailed, and I probably seemed a little crazy at first, like, hey, you don't know me, but this is what's going on.
You
got to come out if it happens, because I wasn't even sure if it was going to happen in the early stages. And so I kept both of you updated, like, first and foremost.
How did you get the idea to tell us exactly what it is that you did, and how did you get the idea to do that?
So what happened is, you know, the historic markers, like if you're on vacation and you pull over on the side of the road, and they're always fun to read, you know, but they're usually about like old battles, or in the South, especially like Civil War and old politicians. But entertainers will get them. Country music stars in Tennessee have them. But I've always loved them. Like when I was a kid and we'd go on vacation, I'd always like pull over. You got to see this. So just knowing,
Do you have a picture of one you can throw up while we're talking about it?
I don't have one. I have the picture
of the Betty one.
I do.
You have the one.
For sure.
That's what I mean.
But the most important one.
Yeah, for sure. I can get that going right now for the people watching on the video that you're in for a treat. So I just, knowing what I knew about her Nashville history, a huge fan of her story, a huge fan of her Nashville connection, I just knew it was time that Nashville was needed to recognize the fact that she was from there. And the best way to do it would be with a marker. At first, I wasn't entirely sure if it was going to, there, you might see the marker right there. They were going to let me put it outside of the school of Hume Fog. I didn't know. I thought maybe it would have to go just somewhere random, maybe close to her childhood home, something like that. But the more that it picked up steam, especially in the press, because the press really got a hold of it, Hume Fog was like, yeah, let's do this. We want it outside of the school, which is really cool because downtown Nashville is a really happening place. a whole lot of foot traffic. People walk by there.
So I hear.
So, yeah. So wait a minute. Leave it up there. Put it back up there because I'd like to read it for the people.
But yeah, there's people.
And I just love that you did that for her, first of all, and just can never thank you enough. But especially, you know, as I've mentioned, you know, it's especially meaningful on her 100th birthday because that's, as a lot of Betty fans know, that's the birthday that she always wanted to make it to, basically. That was like an actual goal of hers, was to make it to 100. And we know she didn't, but that's just such a special way to honor her on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're from Nashville. You're a Nashville resident, right, Ben?
Well, I grew up a town right north of Nashville, about 30 minutes. But yeah, I've always lived right around here pretty much my entire life. So yeah, I'm a Nashvillean.
Okay, so for those of you who are getting the audio version of this, I'm just going to read the inscription that Ben got the city of Nashville to put up. Read the inscription on the what do you call it, the marker, the historical marker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says Betty May Page, 1923 to 2008. That's the years of her birth and death. One of six children, Betty May Page graduated from Hume Fog High School, 1940, and George Peabody College, 1944, before moving to New York to work as a model and actress. She became one of the most photographed pinup models of the 1950s and retired from public life in 1957. Page became an evangelical Christian and, what does that say? Maintained a reclusive lifestyle. Though she developed an underground cult following and was hailed as a feminist icon prior to her death in Los Angeles in 2008. So that's the inscription that you got put up there in front of her high school. That's great.
Love it so much.
It's pretty neat because that's actually, so what the way it works is, and we can get into this in as much detail as you want, but when I proposed the idea of the marker to the city, they told me that I can suggest the language for the marker, and they were like, we'll work with you to get it to where we want it. And that's not 100% what I suggested. It was pretty close. I wanted this, but the two big things that I wanted on there was, has an underground cult following and hailed as a feminist icon. I really wanted those two things. So I pushed for those and they're like, yeah, we'll definitely put that.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was so cool that was, I mean, who has a historic marker that says has a underground cult following, feminist icon, and evangelical Christian on the same thing?
Somebody actually commented about that, I think, like on a picture of it. They're like, both of those things, huh?
It's funny, but
well,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say,
feminist icon and pinup model. I mean, people who are not very familiar with her, they don't. And we talked about that before. But why is she a feminist icon?
I think Tori should take
that. Tori?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, interesting because it might not, some of the things, some of the ways in which she represents, you know, feminism aren't even like, may not be quite as appreciated today by some of the younger generations because they may not be aware of just how rare it was for a woman in Betty's day to even go to college, let alone graduate from college, then live on her own independently, make her own living, not even working on her own terms. And not to mention doing the things that she was doing, you know, fetish modeling, pinup modeling, you know, just itself, forget right. it, even the fetish stuff, you know, was, so the pinup stuff was radical enough. But just really mostly it's, I, in my opinion, the fact that she did things exactly the way she wanted to do them. She lived things her own, she lived her own way and didn't take shit from anybody.
She was an independent woman who, even in terms of her career, she determined her own career. It wasn't determined by, you know, agents or whoever. And
absolutely.
Yes, she was her own person. I mean, she even stood up to a judge who was trying to convict her for indecent exposure. And she said, I am not indecent. And she forced the judge to reduce the charge, right? So
absolutely.
That was her strength of character is part of the reason.
Yeah, she had this, we kind of talked about that before a little bit, about how she, you know, isn't like really, you know, it's not like a feminist in the sense of like, you know, this intellectual scholar or anything, but she clearly had this really innate understanding of body autonomy, agency, free will, and all those things.
Mm-hmm. I feel like when I meet, you know, I used to be a musician, so I used to run with the musician crowd. And every time I'd meet a female that was like covered in tattoos, they were always a badass and they always had a Betty Page tattoo. It just seemed like that was just, I always went hand in hand. You know, it's just, she's to be held up on high for many reasons, but that's one of the biggest ones in my opinion.
All right. So let's talk more about that Nashville event. Now that was actually on the day of her 100th birthday, right?
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is I actually mailed the proposal off to the city on the day of her 99th birthday. I actually did that on
purpose. Oh my God.
I did it on purpose because I just thought it'd be cool. And but I had no idea. See, I thought it would get approved, you know, if it got approved, which I didn't think it had any, I didn't think it was going to get approved, but it was a shot in the dark. You know, I was like, well, I'm going to give it a shot, you know. But I didn't think it would drag out to where it would line up with her 100th birthday. And it did. And that was just the way it worked out's incredible, because usually they get proposed, they get voted in, and they're up in like 6 months. So this one got, I proposed it in April of 2021. It got voted in, I believe, in July of 2021. And then at first they were like, yeah, we'll put it up maybe in November. And I was like, yeah, it sounds great. Let's do it. And then the marker, the company that makes the markers, the monument company, ran into some problems and they got backlogged. So it's like, it's crazy how it worked out. And once I found out that it was going to be ready in March or April, that's when we were like, yeah, let's do it on her 100th birthday. It has to go up on her 100th birthday at that point.
Well, I think even as it got closer, there was some question about that, whether that would even happen because of that big marathon, right, that happened on that same morning.
There was a huge
morning,
marathon.
So yeah. Lots of obstacles to getting that.
I don't know
happen.
If you have any pictures of the crowd, but there were people that came from all over the country. And I think there was even a few that came from outside the United States. I think there was at least one guy from Europe.
Absolutely. There were. There was quite the crowd there. It was very just, I still, you know, because I was in organizer mode. You know how it is when you're putting on an event. And so the thing is when you do a historical marker with the city, they approve it. And then they're like, okay, it's up to you. Like you have to pay for it. You have to, if you want to have a dedication, you have to set that up. Oh, you need a PA. Guess what? You got to bring it. Like it's kind of like that.
So, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So I had to like buy a PA, which really wasn't that bad. And I, you know, here's a picture for our people, viewing. I believe that's Ron Brim speaking right there. You got to do everything. So I didn't really get to soak it in. You know, I was just running. I was going 100 miles an hour. And by the end of the night, I was done. I was
fried.
So tired.
Well, so yeah, as we know, so as a lot of Betty fans know, Ron Brim is Betty's nephew. And he's the son of Betty's beloved sister, Goldie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to make it to Nashville and speak on his Aunt Betty's behalf. And so that was great having him there. And he'll definitely be a guest on this show at some point as well.
It was
and
so
of
cool
course,
to meet
Tori.
Him.
Yeah, it was cool to meet him. And Tori, you spoke at the event. I spoke at the event.
Yep.
And I think Mark Rossler spoke. Is that right? Betty's
yep,
former
sure
agent.
Yeah, sure did.
There's a picture of Mark right there. And
oh, yeah, that's Mark Rossler. Okay. We were looking at a picture of Mark Rossler speaking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so cool, like meeting everybody. And one thing that was pretty wild is everybody that came, you know, Mark and Tori and Mark Rossler and Ron, like we didn't even have to find it. Like everybody just walked up to each other and we all knew who each other was. And it was really cool.
Yeah.
I felt like I'd known both of you for a long time already. Like it was pretty neat how that happened.
Right.
Yeah. It definitely felt very natural and came together really well.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very organically. After all your hard work, that is.
Like. Do we have any pictures of Tori there?
I do have one. Let me see if I can get that pulled up real quick. And Tori, did you have in your mind what you were going to say? Because when you just spoke so naturally. Like, it just kind of just happened.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You know, I was up there all nervous, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to say? Do I need notes and this and that? And Mark, you too. Y'all just got up there and just did it. And totally pro with that. And I was up there just kind of bumbling. Luckily, I didn't have to say much.
No, you weren't.
I just kind of welcomed everybody. It's like, okay, now these people are going to talk. But here's a picture of Tori right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, hey, me.
Tori from behind. Yeah.
Well, I was standing back there. So all my pictures are kind of, you know, from behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah. Those are great pictures, though. Like the crowd, really was kind of bigger than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how the nice touch of like, I don't know, it was probably just within that same day, the sign was like covered with kisses, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. And it has stayed covered with kisses. Like,
yeah. Does it get fresh kisses sometimes?
It does. I was just down there a couple weeks ago for a concert and yeah, there's still Aww, people doing it.
I love
it.
That.
It's become a Nashville tradition. And it's cool because the word is spread to do that if you're a Betty fan. And it's also kind of cool. I don't go downtown a lot because it's downtown Nashville is pretty crazy, like traffic wise. Yeah. And it's real touristy, but I go down there for concerts sometimes and it's cool to see people walking by it. And you can tell they don't really have any idea who she is or who she was, but they read it.
Love that.
and they learn something, you know, and it's pretty neat. You know,
it's another way to introduce people to who Betty Page is. Right.
So, mm-hmm. I was a history major.
And I love how it's...
Oh, go ahead, Tori.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I love how on that same note, I imagine all the students at Hume Fog, mm-hmm. like learning about Betty. I mean, that must be blowing their minds when they like look her up.
I've heard one of the teachers from Hume Fog told me that they actually have in the lobby of the school a little tribute to Betty Page. And
oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And
I want
also,
to see that.
There's also a famous actress that went to Hume Fog, and I can't remember who it was, but anyway, they have one to her too. But yeah, they embrace it. They think it's great. You know,
we need to get Betty Page reels all in Tori's books into the Hume Fog library.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Now let's see, another person that was there, a longtime Betty fan and lookalike, Bernie Dexter was there, mm-hmm. and she was looking very cute. I know you have a picture of me and her in front of the
see if I can find it. But yeah, that was so cool to meet her. I'm a big fan of hers. I've actually bought pictures from her in the past. So that was so cool to meet.
She's such a doll.
She is. She's awesome. And it was just kind of unnerving when I had to get up there and welcome everyone to look out and see all of you and then see Bernie Dexter just standing there. You know, that was...
Yeah, I guess that would throw you off.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty...
The people driving by were even just like, you can tell it was like, they were like, you know, at risk of wrecking because like she was doing her little Betty twirls and stuff for the camera.
One of the things she does, I think she's a spokesmodel for Betty Page Rum. And I think we're going to talk about that a little later with the shrunken head mm-hmm. ceremony. Oh, there I am with Bernie.
That's such an excellent picture. I love that picture of you, Mark.
I think I'm wearing the same shirt now that I was wearing then.
That is a cool shirt.
I love that shirt.
Betty Page shirt.
Where'd you get that shirt?
Oh, well, you know, I bought it off Amazon or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's tough to find a good men's Betty Page shirt. I'm always looking for one, but I like that one, Mark. I want to try to find that one. That's a cool one. Every time I feel like I find one, I'm like, this is the one. There's always something like, it has like too much pink on it. Nothing wrong with pink, but it doesn't look good on me.
Right.
But yeah, that's a great shirt. And I believe Bernie was there with Michael Cobb from Betty Page Wines and Betty Page Rum.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah.
When we talk about the after party here later, we can talk about his role in that. He really stepped up for that, and that was amazing. He came all the way from California for that, so that was very, very cool.
But yeah,
You're talking about the party that was at the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Was it East Side Bowl, or is that what it's called?
East Side Bowl, and they were really cool too. They when I reached out,
that was fun.
Well, yeah. Once you know, we found out this was happening, and there were people coming in. I was like, well, there has to be an after party of some sort. It's our 100th birthday, and the marker's going up. We got to do something. And so I reached out to them. I like their location. I love their huge parking lot. Like, that's the best part. There was like tons of parking because in Nashville there's no parking anywhere. They were really cool about it. They were really gracious with letting us do whatever we wanted to do. As you could tell by being there, it was pretty wild and there was just a lot going on. And they were like, yeah, do whatever you need to do. But
it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Well, they had a couple of contests there, right?
Mm-hmm. The Nashville Luscious Ladies, they're a local, I believe they refer to themselves as a pinup sisterhood. So I asked them, I was like, you got to help me with this because I can only do so much, but I don't really know a lot about, you know, this is where you come in. Like you can organize things. And they were like, yes, please let us help. And they were so cool. They organized a pinup competition. They organized a fashion show. Gosh, what else? They went above and beyond. Like
they did. Mm-hmm. They really blew my mind with how much they contributed. They were so well organized, so sweet. Just, I can't say enough good things about them. I really appreciated their help so much.
And yeah, and they actually, so we had the paying for the marker. It was enough money to where I couldn't just be like, yeah, let me write a check, you know? So instead of just getting online and being like, hey, give money. I was like, let's do something fun to raise the money for the marker. And they got involved with that too. So we had a huge.
Wait a minute. The city of Nashville didn't pay for the marker?
Mm-mm. No, they won't pay for markers. They do pay for the install where Public Works comes and they put the thing up, which who knows, that doesn't cost much. But they won't pay for the marker probably because to keep people from being like, my tax dollars paid for something. You know what I mean? So they, whoever proposes it has to pay for it.
You raised the money for the marker.
Yep. We had a big yard sale. I'll bring up a picture right here from that. It was really fun. The community really came out and it was the best day. And there's some pretty wild stories from it. So there's a picture of me with two of the luscious ladies. I'm doing I've been up since 3 a.m. pose because I was pretty tired at that point. That's Miss Melanin Monroe on the left and Sammy Farah on the right. But yeah, we have other pictures from it. It was a huge
Melanin Monroe is such a great fit up name.
She is awesome. And they brought a ton of stuff too. I sold all kinds of old memorabilia just. And what's crazy is, so we had to raise a certain amount. It was like $2,900, $2,800 is what had to be raised. At the end of the day, we were tallying up how much we made, and we made exactly $7 over the amount that we needed. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
So, you donated your own memorabilia in order to raise the money for this? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's a table right here of all kinds of just Betty stuff and old pinup magazines, and we have.
Oh my God!
You know, I wished I'd have known. I have so much Betty Page memorabilia in my closet that I could have put some things in there.
Well, it kind of just happened, and I was like, "Are we really going to do this?" And we did it. Here, I'll bring up a picture right here of like the actual full yard sale because you can really see the scope of it. Let's see here. So yeah, you can see I sold everything from framed pictures of Captain from Captain D's.
Wow, look at that.
Vampire pictures, tons of magazines, tons of clothes, electronics. I mean, it was
lots of goodies there.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, the Luscious Ladies helped with that, and I couldn't have done it without my friends. And I met so many cool people that day. People came from all over the place. People came from other cities just to support it. And a lot of people, when they bought stuff, you know, if the total was say $17, they gave me 50 and said, keep the change. And that was, that was really, really cool. But it was very fun.
Tori, I don't know. I didn't ask you in advance if we could talk about something that I know is involved with one of your books and they were there. I don't know. Can you talk about that, or do we have to postpone that to a future show?
I really can't I don't think I can in general, but there really isn't any update on it because of the strikes, the writer's strike.
Okay, so all right. So we'll, at some future point, we'll be talking about a new Betty Page project that Tori's involved in.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, great.
For sure. And what about you, Mark? What you been up to? What, tell us about some of your projects.
Well, I'm making a documentary about the Starbucks union drive, and it's called The Baristas Versus the Billionaire.
Such a perfect title.
And we actually, stay tuned, because probably about February, we're going to be launching a crowdfunding campaign to help fund that film. So
nice. We'll keep an eye out for
informed. Sure. Yeah, yeah. And I'm also executive producing a documentary about Orson Welles. It's called Exiled from Hollywood, Orson Welles' Lost Masterpiece, about the Magnificent Ambersons. And it's really the story of Orson Welles falling out with Hollywood, one of the greatest directors of all time, and Hollywood just treated him very badly. So that's...
Looking forward to seeing sure.
I'm a huge fan of Orson Welles, by the way.
Okay.
Have you ever heard, and I don't want to hijack anything, but I got to bring this up. Have you ever heard of Vampira, Myla Nurmi? So she was a...
Yeah. I have.
Mm-hmm. So she dated Orson Welles, like when she first got
there. Are you serious? Mm-hmm.
There's a great book about her that just came out that her niece wrote called Glamour Ghoul, and it talks about it. And
it
triggered a few things. One thing about Betty is, and this goes with her and Vampira have very, very similar life paths. Like, they were born pretty much the same year. They graduated high school the same year. They both, you know, came into their careers in like the early 50s. They both kind of disappeared from their careers in the late 50s. They went underground. And this is so, it's such a neat, like, correspondence between the two of them.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is like, if you follow on social media, it seems like two of the biggest influencers from the past in terms of fashion and just being an all around cool chick is Vampira and Betty Page. And it's just, I think about that all the time. It's how similar.
It's very interesting. I didn't realize that there was such overlap with their timelines.
But Mark's Orson Welles thing got that going. So, you know, I just basically just took it to a whole new path.
Well, yeah.
So that's so cool.
Yeah, there's stuff. We'll be posting stuff about both of those. So just watch my social media if you're interested in those things.
That's very cool.
Definitely will.
I want to share.
And so,
go ahead,
Tori. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to share, before we move any further, I really want to share this poster that one of my favorite artists, Mitchell Connell, made for Betty Page Day. And that's another thing about the whole the dedication day of the historic marker.
Oh, yeah.
I got the mayor of Nashville to declare that day is Betty Page Day in the city. And so when that happened.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. And that was actually, I was surprised at how easy that was. Like, the historic marker wasn't easy. There was a lot of bumps in the road with that, but it worked out. The getting it declared Betty Page Day was a breeze. Like, I went up to the office.
Wow.
I had some pointers written down. I was like, can we do this? And I thought they would be like, let's think about it. Well, they signed it that day. Like, they're like,
is anybody selling those posters? Those are great. I wouldn't mind having one.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah. So the artist Mitchell Connell was selling them, but I think he sold out. But I think I can hook the two of you up for sure.
Yeah, and also if anybody, you know, listening ends up checking out the video component of this show, maybe let us know if y'all would be interested in that poster as well, and maybe he'll do another batch.
He probably would. So Mitch, he's been drawing Betty since the 80s. Like, he's and for all kinds of publications. Do either of you remember the comic book that came out called Tor Love Betty?
I've got that comic book. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So he did contribute to that. I don't know if he did any of the interior work or if he did the cover, but he did something on it. So that shows.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was actually my wife's idea, and I was like, there's no way he'll do it. And she said, just email him and just tell him what's going on and see, you know, what he would charge, you know? And so I emailed him, and he was like, oh, it sounds great. I want to do it. But he never gave me a price, you know?
I love that.
Yeah, he never gave me a price. So I was a little nervous, and then he finished it, and he's like, here it is. Here's the full-size, you know, here's the full-size picture. You can have it sent to a printer. These will print great. And I was like, well, how much do I owe you? And he's like, don't worry about it. It's for Betty.
You know? Aw.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah,
he's a stand-up guy.
That's the same experience I had with Olivia doing the Betty artwork for my Betty Page Reveals
album. No way.
Oh, yeah. I finally got up the nerve to ask her to do it, and she said, well, we were waiting for you to ask us.
That is too cool that she did
that. Oh, my God, I love that. Yeah, it's so perfect, that cover for Betty Page Reveals All.
Yeah,
So iconic.
Yeah, it's great.
But I wanted to ask y'all, both of y'all, like, do y'all think, you know, the fact that, that Ben was able to get that day declared Betty Page Day in Nashville, and B, the ease with which he was able to do that, do y'all think that's a sign of the times? So, like, you know, yeah. Like, before it was, like, all this, like, indecency and, you know, being punished for, you know,
Nashville,
whatever.
Nashville's a very progressive city in a very, what's the right
Southern word? Kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and actually, this is kind of interesting because when the idea came to make the, to do the paperwork and make the proposal for the marker, there's a lot of bad things going on in Tennessee. Like, there was a lot of just bad legislation. Like, it was really kind of bringing women down. So would Tennessee, the state, would they have done a marker? I don't know. I don't know if they would. Nashville was ready, and they knew, the people at the Historical Commission, they knew what it represented. They knew how important it could be to Nashville's pop culture, to Nashville's past, and just show it's a progressive city that's ready to do something like that. I don't think it could have happened 20 years ago, really, in Nashville.
Yeah.
But, and this is funny, I want to share this. This was the biggest surprise on the day before her 100th birthday, Betty Page Day. I did an interview with the Tennessean, which is the state paper. Never mind the top. If you're watching, it says support lacking on gun bill. Don't look at that. But midway down, you'll see a picture of my goofy face holding my 1940 Hume Fog yearbook. But the quote says, "Now I think Nashville is ready." So it made the front page of the Tennessean. I had no idea that was going to happen. I knew that there was going to be an article, and I picked up the paper and I looked through the whole paper looking for the article and couldn't find it. And then when I sat it down, I looked, I was like, oh, that's because it's on the cover. So.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
So you have the yearbook, the full complete yearbook from Hume Fog High School from the year Betty graduated, and she's featured in there?
I do. And
those are pretty rare, aren't they?
They are. And there's actually a kind of a cool story if you want to hear it, how I got it. So after the news hit about the marker getting approved, you know, it got local news coverage. A few national outlets covered it. Within 2 weeks, one of the yearbook was on Craigslist, which I don't check Craigslist. I don't buy stuff off there. But a friend messaged me and said, "Hey, you need to get this because it's, you know, you never see them." So I immediately called the guy and told him, "I'm definitely interested. I can come get it tomorrow." And I did. And when I got there, like, he was like, "I figured you would come for this." Like, basically,
are you serious?
Yeah, like, basically, like, I guess he had seen the news and seen everything going on and was like, "Well, maybe I should post this on Craigslist now that she's making some news in Nashville." But
yeah,
it was almost like, you know, like, yeah, this guy's gonna buy
it. So it was basically like a personal ad directed at you, but without your name on it.
He was a really cool guy. I talked to him for a while. He knew a lot about Betty Page, and
It's great.
That's so cool.
It's great that you got the whole book, because I bought a bunch of stuff from Greg Theakston, and a couple of them are pages from the pages from the yearbook that Betty Page is on. I got, but that somebody somehow had torn them out of the actual full yearbook. Yeah,
it's the coolest yearbook, and it's the coolest collectible for her because she's not just in it; like, she's the star of it.
Right,
like,
right,
it's like
right.
She's in every group. She's in every. Right. She's, of course, she was salutatorian, which, by the way, I really wanted that on the historical marker, too. I really wanted to say graduated salutatorian, but right. I think it just took up too much space, and so they took it out.
It is a long word.
It's a really long word. And, yeah,
people don't know what it means.
Right. Maybe more importantly. Yeah, it's like, yeah, no, they don't. Right. They won't get it.
Yeah. And it, but, yeah, that's... Definitely, like, I definitely have some Betty collectibles, but that's the one. I keep it in
that's your fave?
I don't want to say I keep it in a glass case, but I keep it in a glass case. You know, I'm just going to keep it protected, right. You know?
Of course.
It's an awfully
rare one. Very rare.
For sure.
Yeah.
So after everything was over, after that day was complete, how did you feel? Was it like after giving birth? Like, oh man.
Yeah, he can tell you it was like after giving birth.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you know, these days men can give birth, right? So.
Right. Oh, exactly. Goodness. I don't think Ben's one of them, though.
No, not yet. But no, it was a marathon, you know, like, because when I just never thought it would actually, I try to keep positive thoughts going. I try to just be like, everything's going to work out. But of course, the whole time I just think of worst case scenario, like most people do, like, oh, it's going to rain or COVID's going to come back the month before. Is it going to get shut down? This is going to happen. But everything worked out. But it was like running a marathon. It really was. When it was finally over, I think I fell asleep on the way home that night.
Like, oh God.
I wasn't driving.
And you weren't driving.
I'm sure you were exhausted. Yeah.
I was exhausted because I have two companies. I work by myself, for myself, all day, every day. So I don't talk to people that much. Unless I'm painting some old lady's house and she wants to talk, I'll talk all day. But usually I don't talk. So having to talk that much that day for like 12 hours straight
can be draining.
It really was. I was completely exhausted. And you know, I'll tell you this too. The day before Betty Page Day, and you two were involved in this, the NPR interview that we did, Nashville NPR, that was so speaking of talking, that was the absolute most, I was terrified. I was so scared. Because I've never...
Well, you did amazing.
Oh, no. Well, I had never done live radio before. And so I was in the studio and I was like, I had no idea what he was going to ask. I had nothing. And I kind of psyched myself up, you know, like before it started. And I was like, he's going to ask me something I won't know the answer to, you know? but you two are great. Ron was on it as well. Were you both on Zoom? Did you? Or were you on the telephone?
Thanks. So I was just on the telephone.
Yeah, I think I was on the phone too. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, but that it turned out to be a really great interview. The guy doing the interview was really good. Remember?
Mm-hmm. He was.
Yeah.
But he did. He did kind of ask the questions that are some of the hardest ones to answer sometimes. Where it's like, and you've probably got this question, Tori and Mark. I'm sure you both have got this question before. Where it's like, so Mark, tell me, why Betty Page? You know, like those kind of questions where you guys
It's always like, oh.
And I'm pretty
sure there's so much to that answer. There's so much to that
the
answer.
The first question, yes, the first question we ever talked about on the first podcast is, what is it about Betty? And that's really been kind of the theme of our podcast, right? And
there's still no clear answer, but we took however long, 45 minutes or more, providing some potential answers.
And we'll revisit that topic someday.
Yeah, for sure.
There's so many.
But that one always does. But you're right, Ben. That question is always like, shit. Because it's like, especially, you know, being a Betty expert, like Mark can probably relate. But Mark's a lot more eloquent than I am. But it just is. It's always like, oh, shit, don't ask me that. Because where do you want me to start? How much time do you have? You know, it's such a.
Well, Ben, like, you can always do what politicians do. Don't answer the question they ask. Give the answer to the question you want them to ask. Just, you know, just say whatever you want.
That's true. You know, you can always just be like, so what is it about Betty Page? And I'll be like, you know, there's a lot of things about Betty Page, but before I get to that, we need to talk about what's going on in the neighborhoods. You know, I could have easily done that, but I don't know. I was terrified. So that kicked off the whole weekend. So that really got me going, probably got my blood pressure up. Then I kind of relaxed that night. Then the next day we're off to the races again. And I want to share this picture as well too. A friend of mine, his name is Eric Giles. He's a really good photographer. He took the best picture of the reveal of the marker. And I'm going to share it right now for people watching. It's a great picture because it's right after the cover came off and you see everybody holding up their cameras and their phones, like trying.
That's incredible.
It is. I got an 8x10 made of that. I have it framed in my room.
That.
And there's so much going on with it too. Like you can really see people being excited. You see the kid at on the right side with the Hume Fog shirt on. He's obviously a student there. And it's just a lot going on. It kind of gives me goosebumps just looking at it.
It's like Betty. It's like Betty.
I would love to have a print.
It's like Betty worshiping. Yeah, it's a great. Yeah, it's a great photo.
It is. And you know, like once again, when the reveal happened, when we pulled the thing off, I didn't even really see it. I was kind of like, oh, it's off. All right, I'm going to walk over here now. I got to do this and that. But yeah, it's It was, oh, it was something.
It just makes me so happy. Every time I see it, it makes me so happy mm-hmm. that she's being honored that way. I know she would love it.
I was going to ask both of you that. And Tori, so you've already answered it, but what do you guys think she would think about it? Would she think we're being ridiculous? Like, would she be like,
I think she would have a little trouble understanding, understanding it. Why is she such a big deal? I mean, she was so modest and so unassuming, and I guess you could say maybe lacking in, like an ego, that she just couldn't grasp why she was a celebrity, why people were interested in her. When she was a model, she was just doing her job. And it's all of that attitude is part of why she was so successful and why Betty's loved.
Yeah, for sure. Like you have a great point about like really did just like one of those rare people that really seemed to lack an ego. Like, Right. Yeah, she was just so modest.
You took a picture of the cake before it was cut.
Beautiful.
There's the 100th birthday cake and the right. Luscious Ladies, the Nashville Luscious Ladies. They hooked that up, and they couldn't have done a better job with that. Even have the cursive handwriting on there that kind of looks like her signature. You know,
it does, yeah. And that's such a special touch. Like I didn't even. I mean, y'all just kept coming with the surprises because I didn't like you know even expect for there to be a birthday cake, let alone this gigantic, gorgeous cake.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
So maybe we should have a party next year on Betty's birthday in Nashville.
I was going to say, is it too soon to talk about, you know, anniversary party?
For sure. I was thinking, you know, I think her birthday in 2024, I think it falls on a Monday, which is kind of a bummer because I thought it could be cool to have a little meetup at the marker, but since it's on school property, I'm like, because it's technically on school property. I don't know if we could just walk up there while the kids are in school, but that's also also a really cool thing that it's on school property because you just got to think of the worst in humans sometimes. Like if somebody ever messed with it, like if somebody walked by there one night and like threw something on it, well, they're not just messing with a marker that's property of the state, but they're messing with something on school property. And in Tennessee, that's a big no-no. It's like I said before, I always think of worst case scenario, but you're
absolutely right. I mean, and you know, there's going to be cameras there and all that stuff. So
yeah, I'm so happy.
Don't mess with Betty.
That's right. And I'm so happy that it's there. I just love where it's at. And when they told me the Hume Fogg approved it, like I was just thrilled because I was thinking like, well, where are we going to put it if Hume Fogg says no? Because I'm not 100% sure, but do the people know where her home was raised? I believe it was in East Nashville, but is there a location? I don't know.
I mean, Ron Brim could tell us for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. But I don't personally know. Do you, Mark?
No, I don't know. No.
I've never found anything. And that's another thing I've learned through all this is there are some Betty scholars out there that just know everything. And I've been added to a little email group and some of them, and they know, they know everything. And they can look at a picture and be like, oh, so-and-so took that picture in March of 1954. Right. Like they just know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a huge Betty Page fan. Huge Betty Page fan, but I'm not a Betty Page scholar. Like what I really like about Betty is just her impact on pop culture and her impact on what we were talking about earlier about modern day feminists have adopted with what she did. I love that. But yeah, it's what she did. You know, she did it. She did it her way. She disappeared on her own terms. Like, who can do that? Nobody could do that today. But she just, like, right. I'm out of here. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go to Bible school. I'm going to try to be a missionary and this and that. And she just did it her way and just didn't. She wasn't always pushing her brand, you know? Like, she was like, hey, remember me? I was Betty Page. And I love that. I'm a huge fan of people that are just stay true to what they want to do at all times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like Mark said, you know, she was just making a living. She just was literally a working model and just kind of like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. So didn't even see, you know, she even said, didn't she say something to the effect of like, she didn't even think anybody would miss her. Like she thought that people had probably gotten enough of her by the time
she thought people were sick of her because she was on so many magazine covers.
Little did she know.
Yeah. You know,
there would still be new pictures circulating, you know, even now.
For sure. Do y'all think that somebody could do what she did? Do you think they could pull it off today in terms of like make a huge impact on society and then completely disappear? Like, do you think that's even possible?
Well, I think one thing, you know, with the independent media and the internet, I think somebody could kind of become an underground sensation. Like, she was pretty successful, and you couldn't walk by a magazine stand without seeing her photograph in the 50s, but she was not mainstream, right? And that's part of why she could disappear. Today, I think somebody, the internet, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of underground stuff going on that doesn't get into the mainstream. Somebody could sort of duplicate that kind of success of hers and possibly disappear. I don't think that could have happened 20 years ago, but I'm thinking maybe today that might be able to happen.
That's a good point there, because, I mean, you just made me think about how there are, you know, you'll come across, like, if somebody on social media, you just catch wind of them and be like, oh my God, this person has like 7 million followers and I've never even heard of them, you know? So right. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I guess I can see how that would happen, but obviously there would be, it would be just very different in lots of ways, but.
Yep. So do you have any more pictures from this event that you want to show, Ben?
Trying to think. Oh, one of the
points. This is a real upgrade for our podcast, because before we were audio only, and now we have we can see. You can see us, and we can show pictures, and it's great.
Here's a picture with Bernie and Mark Rossler, but also with Michael Cobb from Betty Page Rum and Betty Page right. Wine, which was so cool to meet him.
Great pick.
I wanted to point out that the after party at Eastside Bowl wouldn't have been what it was without Michael. And he brought in some of his Betty Page rum, and the bartenders were making for the people that wanted them. I forget the names of the drinks, but he had a little menu of the different signature Betty Page rum mixes and stuff. So that was...
Yeah, he's such a creative guy. He's amazing. He always contributes so much to... the Betty brand, and he's just always such a joy to be around.
And just can you bring that back up one second? Just so people we know what it is, but people who weren't there don't know that black thing behind you guys, that is the marker before it was unveiled. It had this black thing over it.
Yep.
And then it was unveiled.
Before it became truly like Betty and took its clothes off.
See, that black thing, that is the marker with it covered up before the ceremony.
When I got there that day, a couple of hours before the ceremony started, it was actually covered up with just like paper, like kind of like, I don't know what you call, like craft paper. And so I had to take that off and put the tablecloth over it. But there were a couple of guys that were already there. They were waiting. And so they got to see it first. And this one guy was like, can I be the first person that gets their picture taken with it? And I was like, absolutely. Like, you're here 2 hours before it starts. You can do whatever you want.
You deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. It was super cool.
And just so people know, that's Michael Cobb on the left, then Bernie Dexter, then that's you, Ben, and then Mark Rossler.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Dan, I don't know if we've said who Mark Rossler is, but for those who
he's Betty's former agent.
Yeah. And... manages her estate, has the rights to her estate.
Yeah. He was very, very nice. Like, I'm always, you know, intimidated by people of, you know, that especially that worked hand in hand with Betty and stuff. And but he was super, super cool. And he came up and he thanked me for doing what I did. I was like, is he going to thank me? Is he going to say, you know, why did you do this? But he was like, thank you so much for doing this. And I was like, oh, this is so great. Because you know,
and he gave. It was nice to hear his Betty stories too.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a speech.
And Ron Brim, Betty's nephew, when he got there, he told me and a group of my friends. He started telling us some really cool stories about Goldie and about Betty, which was really cool because it was outside of the high school that his mother and his aunt both went to. And he was showing us some pictures, and he's like, now, not many people have seen these pictures, you know, of just like them. There was a great picture, a group shot of all the brothers and sisters in front of Hume Falk High School. It was probably taken in the late 30s. And I was just like, how cool is this? You know, this is like the ultimate just Betty fan dream to see stuff like this and to be here. And
of course, Goldie is Betty's sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Goldie Jane.
And here's a picture for those watching.
Betty Mae
and she's Ron Brim's mother. Goldie is Ron Brim's mother, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Betty and Goldie, of course, were super close, and both had, you know, aspired to be models and actresses and all that good stuff. And Goldie, you know, had dabbled in burlesques a bit before she became like a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
There, when Ron was born.
There's a picture for those watching of Mark giving his words.
Oh, is that me?
I believe that's you.
I guess it is. Yes, that is.
Yeah. You're like, I didn't know I looked that cool.
If you remember right, it rained on me. Remember how like right when it started.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, right when it started. It's like my worst nightmare come true. It's like, well, here comes the rain. And it rained pretty much just during when I spoke. And then it stopped. It wasn't like a real rain. It was kind of just more like a nice cool off, you know. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was a kiss from Betty.
You know, that
for all your hard work.
That's funny you say that, because somebody came up to me afterwards and said that, you know, they like, you know how it started raining right when the thing started? And I said, yeah. And they're like, that was Betty's tears. And I thought that was,
oh,
yeah. And they meant it. And I was like, wow, that's actually kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah.
There were some of her cousins there. I met them very briefly, like third, fourth, maybe cousins. Her second.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And her second cousin, have either of you ever met Scott Page?
I think I may have met him at like Nashville.
I met him at Betty's funeral. In fact, when he came to Betty's funeral, he's kind of, other people there from the family didn't know, had not seen him or been so aware of him for many years.
He reached out to me after the news got out. He got my email from a mutual friend, and I'm actually going to share too this great mural that's in Nashville that actually came out.
Yeah,
it got put up the same month that the marker got approved, which was really
incredible.
Cool.
I love that.
But Scott reached out to me, and he was just like, "Hey, I'm Betty's second cousin. This is really exciting. Please keep me posted." And I just thought that was so cool, you know, that somebody that close in the family was reaching out. It was really cool. But
definitely.
The mural is still in Nashville. It's become one of these tourist attractions too. People go get their picture taken with the Betty Page mural, and then they go across town and take their picture with the marker, you know.
Oh man, I can't believe I forgot to get a picture with this mural when I was there for the marker dedication. I'll have to do that
when
time.
We have the party this next.
Definitely. Yes. Perfect. Perfect idea.
Yeah. I think there needs to become a tradition for sure. It's,
get together every year and celebrate Betty's birthday.
I think it sounds great.
Super fun.
For sure.
Who's with us? Email us or reach out on social media if you want to start planning to meet us out there.
Yeah, so is there anything else about that event, or do you want to touch on a couple other topics before we wrap it up here?
I kind of wanted to point one thing out that I think is pretty neat. I'll keep it as brief as possible because I can be long-winded. But right down the street from Hume Fog on Broadway, before it's the Broadway it is now, it was kind of a hopping place, but it was nothing like it. It wasn't like Nash Vegas like it is now. But there used to be a Betty Page clothing store, and I think it opened maybe like 2008, 9, 10-ish.
Yeah.
And it had the coolest, like neon, you know, had Betty's head on it, like Betty Page clothing. And it was literally one block from Hume Fog. And so when that store opened, I was working downtown and I would drive by it every day. And I would think, how cool is it that this store is here literally right next to where she went to high school. But I learned very quickly that everybody I talked to had no idea she was from Nashville. Like they didn't even know who they were.
Wow.
Yeah. They were just like, wait, she's from Nashville? I'm like, wait, not only is she from Nashville, but she went to this school that's right here that you can see from this store.
Yeah.
And not only that, but she was the star student. Like she was like the one, she was the most likely to succeed. I mean, I guess you can say she succeeded. All right.
Definitely.
I would say so.
But
pretty good definition of success.
Getting the historical marker outside of your, and becoming the most recognized pinup model of all time. That's pretty good.
Absolutely.
But it became a thing that I would always, you know, you'd be hanging out with people that you would start talking about stuff and be like, you know, Betty Page is from Nashville. No, it's like nobody knew. And even here in town, it's like nobody knew, or at least the people I talked to. So
that Betty mystery, that just sense of mystery that surrounds her in so many ways.
Yeah. And that, I would say that's probably where the thing got in my head about, you know, that eventually led to the historical marker proposal was that, you know, just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because once you did that, I remember like hearing, you know, several people say, you know, something along the lines of like, wait, they haven't, there's not something like this already, or like, why haven't they done this before? You know, that kind of stuff. So it was well overdue. So,
yep.
Thank you again for making that happen. And I don't think we've mentioned that, you know, also that sort of getting together at that event is the reason why we're here, because Ben wanted to, Ben, you know, kind of, well, we did talk about you twisted our arms to get us back on the podcast.
But. To get us off of our vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I told both of you, like listening to the podcast while I was working and stuff, and that was getting the idea of finally going through with making this proposal, like y'all indirectly made it happen, you know, like it had a lot to do with it.
Well, so it's come full circle then.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm just thrilled to be here. Like, I really appreciate you having me here.
And we're thrilled to have you.
Yeah. This is fun.
Thanks for bringing us out of retirement and getting the band back together.
Getting the band back together, yeah.
Yeah. Add a new member to the band.
Yes.
Well, I'll see what I can do. You know, we'll hopefully I live up to the expectations of what you need me to do, you know. But I'm here for it.
I'm sure you will. So good. I'm sure you will. Something tells me you will. Right. I think you do about anything you set out to do. So.
So if we're, I'm sure we'll be touching on that Nashville event in the future, but I know we were going to talk, if we're done with that, I know we're going to talk about a little few Betty Page memorabilia or events. I think we came across the new Betty Page figurine. You have a image of that you can throw up there, Ben?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a gorgeous one.
Yeah, there's a picture for everybody.
There have been several other figurines over the years and some that were really good too, but this one I think is definitely one of my favorites.
It's up for pre-order right now. It's a fifth scale statue. And when does it say the last chance to pre-order is November 30th of this year?
Oh, wow. So we're just up to the deadline almost.
Yeah,
It looks fantastic.
So that's at BettyPage.com.
Sculpted by Tony Cipriano, and it's 17.5 inches tall.
Yeah, it's 1/5 scale, it says.
So oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't get the feeling that it was that big by looking at it.
But, yeah, that's on the that's official so cool. website. It's really cool. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing looking, for sure.
Are you ordering one, Ben?
Yes.
I might have to get one myself.
Yeah, I think.
Mark, what do you think?
I guess I'm going to have to get one, too. Add to my, I've got my closet is overflowing with Betty stuff. I guess I can stuff one more thing in there.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that one. That's cute.
That's a little more budget friendly from Retro Agogo, the Tiki Time Betty ornament.
And they have so much good Betty stuff. They're so creative with it.
And that's also a pre-order right now. It looks, let's see, shipping in early 2024. I love that one. That looks great.
I do too.
That's cute. Yeah.
Super cute. I think they have a couple other Betty ornaments too, like Christmas ornaments. So,
and check a Halloween those out one. Too. There's a Halloween.
Oh yeah, is it like a witchy Betty?
Mm-hmm. I think she's holding a pumpkin pail. I've got that one and the Christmas one. And you know, being the nerd that I am, they're still in the box because you know. But they're really, really, really cool for sure.
Nice.
So then there was the shrunken head ceremony, right?
Yes, there's the shrunken head ceremony, which I don't think I can talk intelligently about it, but I do remember Michael Cobb telling me that, Ben, do you know anything about the shrunken head, like, tradition by any chance? Is a certain artist or something that does these famous shrunken heads?
It's there's a tiki bar in Vegas, and that's where they have them.
Right.
But
right.
I don't – it's people that they want to immortalize and have – I think they have them all on, like, this wall – it's like almost like a hall of fame.
Right. Yeah.
But the pictures from it looked amazing. I'm going to see if I can find some real quick.
Because they did a shrunken head of Betty, of course, and that's really exciting. But they also did sort of like an honorary shrunken head of Michael Cobb, too, which was really, really
so
cool.
So you mean, so if we go to Vegas, we can go see this?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. So it's a tiki bar in Vegas?
Yep, it was at the Golden Tiki in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And they did one for Michael Cobb and Betty Page. Oh, wait, I finally found the picture. All right, here we go. So, yeah, it looks really, really cool. Let's see. But it looked like quite the party. Like, I wish I could have made it out to that. I don't know if you can see if you're looking there, but there's the Betty shrunken head. It's pretty great.
Let's see. Oh yeah.
God, that really is a shrunken, really does look like a shrunken head. What do they have?
Very Halloween-y.
Hanging there?
Yeah, wow. I think so. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's super
cool. We'll find Michael's shrunken head and show y'all next time. So yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, and
I was going to say, I think Bernie Dexter was at that too. And she did a performance at that as well. And like I said, it just looked like a real riot, you know, and gosh, I need to get out to the West Coast bad. Like I'm landlocked on the East Coast.
Have you ever been to Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekender?
That's pretty fun. That's where we premiered Betty Page Reveals All Head. It's a world premiere at Viva Las Vegas in 2012.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Had sold out performances. It was really good.
Fun. Perfect place for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I bet that was there, I've always heard of that event, but never been. Gosh, that sounds like a blast.
And one of the things we want Betty Page fans to do is send us photos of you in your Betty Page t-shirt or with your Betty Page memorabilia. We'd love to post those on our social media.
Ooh, Betty Page tattoos.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, when I was making Betty Page Reveals All, I went to an event and there was a woman there actually getting a Betty Page tattoo at the event. It was pretty crazy.
Oh my God.
I think I took a photograph of it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Dig it up. Yeah.
So many people out there with Betty tattoos. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have a tattoo. And I seriously was considering after all this happened, I was like, maybe I should get a Betty tattoo. Still haven't done it. I don't know. I'm not scared of needles. I'm not scared.
Why don't you go really big and get the entire, like, all the words from the historic marker on your back?
Oh, my gosh.
Even the shape, like the outline.
The whole thing. Yeah. And just every year, just add, like,
another. Be like, I did this.
You know, it's like, you know, that would be the last thing some people see before I, you know, kick their ass, you know?
Exactly.
Do you know who you're messing with? Yeah. Oh, God.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay, can I point out one more thing? I wanted to say at some point, and I actually made a point to say this at the ceremony. So I wanted to point out what Dave Stevens did for Betty with helping her out in the 80s and showing her, you know, how she was, you know, there's a story about how he showed her. What did he take her to, like Tower Records or somewhere, and showed her the end cap of all the Betty merch?
That's what I heard, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, when my past with Betty is, of course, I discovered her in like the mid to late 90s by going to Tower Records and seeing Betty Page coffee mugs and stuff and all that stuff. But at the time, I didn't really know who she, I was like, well, she must have been in the movies, right? Like, I was like 16 years old. I didn't know who she was. I was from a small southern town. I didn't know. And there was not much information on her, but it was, you know, as I grew to know who she was and become a fan, the Rocketeer stuff really sealed it for me. Like, I love what Dave Stevens did for her and how he portrayed her in those comic books, so much so that I'd have my own Rocketeer.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great.
Check this bad boy
out.
Oh,
that's so cool.
That's great.
So I have the full Rocketeer costume, and it's screen accurate, if I must say so myself.
Well, you know, there's a documentary being made about Dave Stevens. I don't know if it's out yet.
Is it out? I think it's out, right?
Oh, it's Ben, out? Did I you think say you're right.
Mm-hmm. It's out.
And then there's also a new documentary about Bunny Yeager that's supposed to be pretty good. That's just out.
Didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they licensed some stuff from me, some of Betty's voice and some imagery.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta watch that. You said it's out already?
Yeah, yeah. Because a guy saw it at a film festival and told me.
Okay.
About it.
Yeah. Well, we gotta have somebody on the show talking about that at some point, maybe.
Yeah, both of those, yeah.
And the Dave Stevens people, for sure. Because obviously Dave Stevens' contributions so just like priceless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be here probably without that.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Lots of fun stuff in store.
Okay, well, this all sounds good. Man, this is fun having you on here, Ben.
It is. We're gonna get used to it. So before you retreat into the background.
Well, I had a cup of coffee before we got going too, so I'm a little like kind of like Roger Rabbit right now. You know, like
I love it when you have your coffee.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, thanks for having me, and I'm glad that the marker happened. I'm glad that Nashville realized, you know, how important it was, and they didn't really put up a fight. You know, I had to jump through a few hoops here and there, but nothing too crazy. Like, they were like, we need to do this. This is important. And it just makes me happy knowing that people walk by it, read it, learn a little something about somebody that they need to know about. It's a cool thing. You know, it's going to be there for forever. I mean, it's they don't take historical markers down. They're there. So
someday in the thousands of years in the future, there's some prospectors will be digging it up and say, oh, look what we found. It's Betty Page, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I want to urge people to check out Tori's books, The Little Book of Betty and Betty Page, The Lost Years. And of course, she's got her Betty Page fitness videos, and check those out. And of course, my film, Betty Page Reveals All, is available everywhere, Amazon and Apple and everywhere. So check that out. And
that's, of course, a must see for anybody fan. And you'll want to watch it multiple times like I have.
Yeah.
Mark, well, can I brag on it for a second? So when that movie came out, like you can't imagine the get togethers that we had, because I still live in a college town, and we all, you know.
Well, you know, I came to a screening in Nashville of the film.
Oh, at the Bell Court, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to get the Bell Court to actually show it in conjunction with Betty Page Day and stuff, but the scheduling just wouldn't work. They think they already had everything blocked out. Right. But when that documentary came out, we all watched it. I remember with a group of people, and just hearing her voice like was so incredible. It was just the coolest.
Well, that's the thing that really makes the film, is her voice chills when she narrates it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could do that for the anniversary, or like a Bell Court screening. Sure, we'll see. Yeah.
That sounds good.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds
very
great.
Very cool. I've had a lot of fun with you guys and can't wait to do it again.
Okay. Well, so we're back from vacation. We're off and running, and we'll be back with another one soon, right?
Definitely.
Let's do it.
Okay. It's fun, you guys.
Thanks,
next time.
Ben.
Bye, everybody. Okay.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.